What's up, world? I'd like to welcome y'all to a Drug Dealer's Dreams podcast show. Shit is real. We got real guests.
Yep.
Informative. Yo, my name G.
I'm Benny Blanco. You know, for those of you who lived it, can relate to it, seen it, heard it, felt it, been through it, it's for you.
Yo, we gonna have real convo, real guests, real just back and forth with me and my guy, man. Sit back, enjoy the ride, man. Drug Dealer's Dreams.
Word. If you're tuning in for gossip, tune out.
Facts.
Yo, Drug Dealer's Dream, another episode, man.
13, right?
Episode 13, I don't know. Good one earlier. I don't know. 13.
So I get the magic number 13?
Unlucky number.
Yeah, exactly.
But you get the number 13, exactly. Man. Hey, man, I'm G.
Benny.
We got a guest, man. I thought it was kind of important to have this guest on. Not because he got 200,000 followers on Instagram. No shit like that. But I've known this man for a long time, man. And we be having like minds, you know what I'm saying, when we get together and meet the same age. And he been around the block, man, and the A, man, my man Poncho, man, what's good?
Saturday.
You know, hey, good.
Good
buddy,
to have
man.
You, man. Thank you for coming out.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, definitely. The reason why I want him on here, though, is because he been around in this Atlanta, and if we talk about it sometime, but some people just be moving to the A, so you don't know how it was. Like, you might go to whatever city and be like, man, back in the 90s, this was. He been around for all the eras of Atlanta. I'll give you a brief history on him, and then we could go into Poncho. He moved down here in 96, right?
1996.
So you got to think, from the 90s, we going from the Freaknik era. Mm-hmm. We going, I don't know, Club Kaya era.
Club Kaya,
112.
112.
We going BMF Gentleman after that.
Club.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying, all the way to now. You know what I'm saying?
And basically, the reason why Atlanta's so important today.
Right. So yeah. I wanted to have him on there so we can kind of discuss those eras, how Atlanta changed, the people, and this so-called Black Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? And He been through all of that, and whether I've been gone or not, and all that, I've been through all of it. But he been on the street for all of it, and that shit is a big difference. So,
and whether I was a part of it or on the outside looking in, I saw it. I was here.
Word. That's why you're here now.
Yep.
Word. So let's get into it, man.
Bless. You,
originally, where you from?
I'm from outside. I was born right outside of Savannah, Georgia. Little small country town, but all my family is in Savannah.
Okay.
So I did a lot of, excuse me, but a lot of my time was spent in Savannah. Like, all my weekends, summers was with my family, my cousins, my grandfather. But I learned everything I got from Savannah. And then once I graduated high school, I moved straight to Atlanta.
For what?
I came to college up here. I went to Morris Brown, did 3.5 years at Morris Brown, and that's when shit really started for me.
How did you know, like, being in Savannah, is there something, like, coming from Syracuse, right, where me and G from, we look at NYC in a certain way. You know, in Savannah, do y'all look at Atlanta in a certain way?
Like
y'all
got
to get to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. A lot of cats I grew up with until now, like, they just started coming to Atlanta.
Okay.
A lot of cats, they didn't leave home. They ain't want to get away from that. But me, I knew it was something bigger out there, so I wanted more.
So in search for something bigger.
Yeah.
All right.
So school is a good transition.
You go to school. 3.5 years, did you finish?
Hell nah.
How you do 3.5 years?
Damn, son, you was right there.
Right there. But guess what? A drug dealer's dream.
Okay.
All right, talk about it.
Man,
good
you
plug.
Start hustling.
Because straight up, I got my start in Frazier Homes.
To explain where that's at.
Frazier Homes is on the west side of Savannah. It's the projects.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I bought my first bag at.
Mm.
Because, shit, my parents, I came from a middle class home where I didn't have to hustle.
Yeah.
But my daddy was a hustler. And at the age of like 9 or 10, shit, I remember the GBIs laying us down straight from Dairy Queen.
Georgia Bureau investigation.
Yes. Georgia Bureau of Investigation came in my house, tore it up. My mama was at work. And the cold part about it, my mama was a CEO. Mm. She was working at night when they came.
Okay.
But they came and tore our house up. But my dad was, you know, he ain't keep nothing at home, so we was good.
Yeah.
But watching his moves, like, I got attracted to that life.
Okay.
Even though I ain't have to, but because he was big and in the town, like, yeah, everybody, all the dope boys in the town, they put me under their wing. I was, my daddy was B. I was little B in the town. So I had respect as a JIT.
Okay, okay.
So that's how it really all started for me.
But so you at Morris Brown, but you got this voice in your head, like.
So let me tell you about that part. Like, the reason I end up in college, because I had no plans on college until the last month of my high school years.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend had to turn, got, had charges, and we found out he had to turn himself in after graduation. Mm-hmm. And the year before that, my other partner got hit with a life sentence for being a getaway driver and an armed robbery and murder.
Mm. Okay.
So that's when I knew.
Let me go to college.
Let me get the fuck out of here way, somehow.
Right.
I ain't even have an SAT score. Okay. I was just like, whoever, I researched who the fuck would take me without a SAT score.
Okay.
Hood ass Mobile take you.
Nah, I ain't gonna do them like that.
Okay.
DeVry.
Okay.
Back in the day, okay, DeVry, you didn't need no SAT score.
Okay.
And I did a year at DeVry, and once I seen that shit went for me, because it wasn't nothing but a bunch of lames, I went over to Morris Brown. I applied to Clark, but Clark denied me because they ain't get my real, what they call that shit?
Transcript.
They ain't get my real transcript at first. Uh-huh. So they denied me. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to just go with who took me. Morris Brown took me off the rip.
Word.
But once I made it to Morris Brown, now, mind you, everything I just told you about my friends, like, I'm moving to get away because I'm scared I'm going to be next.
Right.
So when I got to Atlanta, niggas started calling me Righteous Lee because I'm on some, I ain't fucking with nothing.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I'm done with that.
I already seen the consequences.
I ain't stealing no more. I ain't robbing no more. I ain't selling nothing no more.
Right.
I ain't drinking. I ain't smoking. I ain't nothing.
Right.
But when I got to the AUC, shit changed.
Now, break that down, though. So you feeling pressure?
So
it's women.
It's women.
Right.
It's people from all over the place, like New York, Texas, California. And because I'm a country boy, but I'm cultured because I traveled every summer.
Right.
So everybody, they don't think I'm from the country.
Right.
They don't look at me like, oh, that nigga country, he a country boy. Yeah. Nah, because I don't dress country, I don't act country, because I'm cultured, I've been around.
Right.
So, shit, I met a cat. I'm going to tell you a true story. When African Studies, my freshman year. Now, mind you, I told you I wasn't doing nothing.
What?
Morris Brown, we in the class. This cat got a cell phone. It's 1997. Cell phones still ain't plentiful.
Yeah. No, definitely not. And the bill was like $350
right.
a month.
Yeah, maybe.
I remember, so, that, shit.
This
I remember
cat, that shit. This cat phone rings in the class. I'm like,
right.
And he answered the motherfucker.
I would have kept my shit on loud, too, if I had a cell phone 97.
He answered it, and the professor, like, hey, can you step out the room?
Right.
So he step out, and then he come back. So immediately after class, I'm like, shit, bro, what's your name?
Yeah.
He tell me his name, tell me where he from. He was from Oakland.
Cali.
Yeah, Oakland, California. So we get cool. He eventually invited me over to his house. Him and his other homeboy from Oakland, they got a house. They ain't in no dorms or nothing. So I'm like, okay.
Right.
I see. So we chilling. They playing video games, and we in his room, and I see a stack of cell phone boxes on the wall.
Yeah.
So I'm like, bro, how you got all these cell phones? Yes. He said, no, them ain't cell phones. Go open one.
Yeah.
And each box had a pound of weed in it. Mm-hmm. He say, shit, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And there it is. There wasn't no more righteous in me after that.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, shit, how can I be that?
You got a plug off top.
Right.
Yeah. You getting shit sent when motherfuckers wasn't even doing that.
Niggas wasn't even hip to this shit.
Right.
I lost my first bag in 1998 through the mail, cause guess what? That same nigga burnt me.
Okay.
I took my first burn in 1998 because my daughter was about to be born.
Yeah.
And me still being from the country and so cool and nice with everybody, thinking everybody else rocked the same.
Right.
So I'm telling him all my business. Like, shit, bro, I got a little girl on the way.
Yeah.
I'm going all in this time.
Yeah.
And then that's when he
burned. That all in killed me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you was wild.
That all in killed me.
Yeah.
He never came back to school.
Damn.
I never seen him again in life.
Damn.
Okay.
That's deep.
All right.
That's deep.
Yeah, and that was 1998.
So does that lead to you saying fuck school, or that was already over?
No, I stayed down.
Okay.
I stayed down in school. I worked three jobs in Lenox Mall.
Damn, son. Word.
Oh, shit.
I went to work in Lenox. I had three jobs. I worked at the Limited Express and Coach.
You know, we talk about that too, man. Like, a lot of times when you're young and you got to make those choices, from the outside looking in, people that didn't experience it, they think, oh, you was lazy, you was doing. Nah, it's not about being above working. It's just about wanting more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of
that
people
that shit don't be cutting it.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
You got a daughter being more.
Yeah.
You got shit going
and
on.
And you got the reputation and the perception of your father in the back of your head about how ill he was and the respect he got. And you don't see dentists walking around with that respect. You don't see teachers or judges walking around.
And
you,
then they ain't got the toys, and you know, they ain't got
a drug dealer's dream.
They ain't got the women, you know. And even though my pops is married to my mom's, like, but I still saw it.
Yeah, you know what's up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what's up. Yeah. So, I want to touch on the A a little bit. You, 97, 98, 99. What clubs is popping at this time? Because, like, when I first moved here, like, when I first came to the A, 2000. When I first got here in 2000, it's Esso, it's 112, it's Kaya.
Mm-hmm.
We got the whole Buckhead, it's World Bars, Fuel, it's all them spots is popping when I first.
And see, before that, like, cause you're only talking a couple years.
Right.
So you had Kaya was still popping back in 98, 97, 98. But before Kaya, you had the World, what was it called? Damn, it was on, I'm trying to remember the name of it. The World Club. It wasn't, was it the World Club?
World Bar? Now you ain't talking about World Bar and Buckhead?
Not Buckhead. It was the first spot that I remember AG throwing a party at. It was on the same street that Phillips Arena on, what is that, Marietta Street, downtown.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely was.
I think it was called the World Club.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Was the spot for us because all the college students, that's where we went and kicked it. It was the World Club, and I could be wrong
shit,
with the Chow name.
Shit, Chow might know about that shit.
But, and it was Catfish Station.
See, I wasn't here for none of that.
And it was Kaya, what else was popping? Oh, Atlanta Live.
I heard about Atlanta Live.
Yes, right. Yes, I couldn't
Gentleman's
think of
Club.
Gentleman's Club, Atlanta Live, Club Nikki. Magic City,
okay,
which is still here. The other ones are gone, but Magic was popping. Gentleman Club.
Now, not to cut you off, we was talking, all of us was talking recently, and I was talking with him earlier about it. When we used to go to the club back then, it really wasn't no VIP.
Nope.
The VIP was for the artist who was hosting, or if it was the Jay-Z after party, right, whatever. Right, right. That was the, I ain't gonna lie, that was one of the first times I saw a section. I went to Club Kaya, and Jay and Dame and them is in the VIP.
And it wasn't really a permanent section on a night like
that. It was just for them.
Yeah.
It was just, it was made up for them. Yeah. Like because if it wasn't nobody there,
there wouldn't be it.
Then that was the dance floor or a place you hung out. Right. And Atlanta done got so VIP driven.
Cause
it make regular working motherfuckers feel lesser than men. You know what I'm saying? Or lesser than people.
Make you feel so uncomfortable that you don't want to go.
100%.
And mind you, not to cut you off, but I just watched somebody post something on Instagram a few months ago about this same subject, about how the DJ's killing the club.
Okay.
No. Let's be clear. What you just said is what killed the club owners, and the way they began to structure the club is what killed it, because you left no space for the regular people.
Right.
There was dance floors back in the day. Tell me what club we can go to and find a dance floor.
We
just talked about it because
I told them that.
I used to go to, not the old SO, I used to go to the old SO, the 3-floor joint.
Yeah.
Straight. I mean, it wasn't no VIP. That shit was just pandemonium.
Everybody just partying. Yeah. Right.
Now
listen.
Even when I used to go, the new SO that ended up being on Memorial Drive or whatever, that's when, all right, they was incorporating VIPs. This is late. This is like some 07 shit.
Right.
But they had,
probably more like 08, 09.
Definitely. It's something like that. 08. We're going to say 08. Now, when a nigga going, it's VIP section. We used to go put in and get sections or whatever. But that was few and far between. Let's just say it was 6 sections, the whole club. 7 sections. Let's do that. The rest was dance floor. So if you did pay that money to be in a VIP, you could go on the dance floor if you wanted, or you can pick somebody from the dance floor to come in your VIP,
and you would get,
and they would feel super special.
You would get,
now
you would
chicks
get bored.
Going, oh, let me go and get in somebody's section. Right. Well, I ain't going to the club unless I get in the section. Y'all was dancing before, and y'all was having fun, and it just happened. This special nigga who done spent this couple bands offered you to come in. Now, they don't feel special to come to. I see them all the time. It's, oh no, I ain't going nowhere. There ain't no section. Or, who section y'all in? Or, da, 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 da.
If you even invite a person to the club, like, oh, you got a section? Damn, can we just go kick it?
Yeah, you can. No. Yeah,
you can't even kick it.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
You cannot.
My boy was telling me the other day, like, yo, I invited a chick out. And it's like, number one, what happened was, he's like, I invited her out. She asked me, she asked him where his section was at. Like, you got
to
have an exclusive.
Yes,
like,
section.
Oh, you got the joint by the wall. Y'all should have. Yeah, y'all should. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, mind you, invite Shorty out. Mind you, they can't go to the bar and hang because she ain't.
No.
But she end up knowing other niggas and go to their section and leave them. Like, damn. Sure. Right? Like, first of all, you probably got a hot $200 to your name, but but my section ain't good enough. It's my section not good enough?
Yeah, your post.
Lord have mercy.
Her post wasn't going to look the right way.
Yeah.
Can I tell y'all a quick story? Yeah.
Please, man. That's why you're here.
All right. My very first assistant, we was super cool. But when the section shit started, she was one of the females that, no matter who invited her out, she was gonna go kick it with them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking at it like, you work for me. How the hell are you out with these niggas every other night?
Yeah,
right.
That don't look good for me.
Assistant, you gotta break it. Assistant, why you got assistant?
Yeah.
Oh, that was,
skip that part.
That was later on down the road when I started doing parties.
Okay.
See, I started doing parties in 2003.
Matter of fact, save the story. Let's stick to the timeline.
All right, all right. Cool.
So you come out of Morris Brown, right? Why do you leave early before you graduate?
All right, I had a sit down with my my advisor, who happened to be my entrepreneur professor.
Okay.
And anything I say,
yeah,
is factual. Right. You ain't got to worry about it. like, I can back it up by references, whatever.
So it, good.
It's fact.
Yeah.
But his name was Dr. Todd at Morris Brown. Mm. And I came to him because I was like, this shit getting rough. I'm working three jobs and I'm doing a full load.
Mm. Right.
So I'm like, shit, what am I supposed to do? Because he called me in because my grades were slipping. Mm. It's like, what's going on? Mm. I'm like, I'm working three jobs and I'm still trying to hold this shit down.
Oh, yeah.
So he tell me to drop out. I said, why would you advise me to drop out? Yeah. He said, because you hurt yourself worse because you're not applying yourself to school. So you might as well go get your money, take care of your kids, and then double back for school.
Okay. Okay.
Real shit. Like
real life shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the same time,
a life advisor, not a college advisor.
Right. But at the same time, he's advising me to drop out. He's giving me an opportunity.
Okay.
He steps to me and say, "He come to my office tomorrow. I got something for you." And when I get there, he say, "I got a deal on the table for the very first movie studio for Atlanta."
Damn.
This was the year 2000.
Mm, okay.
He said, it's some politicians who's gonna invest in it. They don't wanna be known. They just want a face for it.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm gonna give you the position. You put together your team and come back and meet with me."
Word? Mm,
damn.
So I put together my team because I was doing an intern with Bad Boy South, if anybody remember that.
Yeah,
like it was short lived. But
Luda was signed to.
Yeah, I did an intern with Bad Boy South, so
Boys
I knew some
hood.
People.
Boys in the Hood.
Right. Well, it was before. That was
later.
Yeah, it was way before Boys
Luda
in the
first.
Hood.
I didn't know Luda was signed.
Yeah. Scarface was the president.
Gotcha.
So I put together my team and we came for our first meeting. And when we got there, his assistant told me he had a heart attack. He in the hospital. Mm. So we left. And when he got out, he called me. He said, "Shit, let's set up another meeting because I want you to meet the investors." We set the meeting up and me and my team, we show up and they tell me, "We're sorry to advise you, he passed away."
Mm. Damn.
Okay.
And that's a real story. Like,
so you really had to plug.
Was gonna have the first movie studio in the city.
Damn.
What they doing in Atlanta now?
No,
making movies.
Movies, yeah.
And I ain't never told nobody besides my family that story.
Damn, that's crazy. So where do you fall back on after that?
So after that, I drop out of school and I knew it. A cat from the Midwest that had a studio and a barbershop. I used to try to get him to let me, because I wanted to be a part of the music industry.
Somehow.
Okay.
Somehow I wanted my way in.
Right.
So I kept bugging him. Like, let me just come clean up the studio.
Whatever
I can do, let me in. So when he finally calls me to come meet with him, we meet at Run and Shoot on Metropolitan.
Mm. We used to go there all the time.
So we walking around the track and he asked me what you can do with weed. I heard about what happened between you and Buddy.
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, you know about that.
Yeah.
You know about that Oakland shit."
Yeah.
So he's like, "Yeah." I said, "Shit, I'll see you tomorrow. Where it's at?"
Right.
So he give me the bag. He took it from a nigga. We all walking around the track.
Yeah.
The person who had the bag first couldn't do nothing with it. And he telling him, you know, and I'm walking with him and he talking shit to this man. I'm like, "Man, he can't never disrespect me like this."
Right.
But he tell the man, "Go get the bag and give it to him." Shit, okay. I was back the next day.
Yeah. Right.
So that's where my real situation started.
Okay. Off a damn track walk.
Yep.
Okay, so your life now, you ain't thinking about school no more.
Nah, school is on the back burner.
You turning up
right.
on the
It's
back.
Time to go.
It's go time, because these cats introduced me to something I had never seen before, never thought I'd be a part of.
Yeah.
Like, after I came back with that, he asked me, "Shit, you know how to drive?" Yeah, I think I've been driving since I was 9 years old. I know how to drive.
You know how to drive.
But I ain't understand the question.
Right.
He said, do you know how to drive?
Yeah.
I said, nah, once I understood what he was talking about.
So, what? Break it down.
So, we went on a quick trip just for him to show me how to drive, what to look for.
Yeah.
Like, I got my end by being a driver. I started off trafficking work.
Wow.
Some people don't, you know, the illest part, I be saying it all the time. Where the dudes selling nickel bags at? Where the dudes with, everybody kingpin, everybody got 50 keys, everybody got 100 bags a week.
Right.
Bro, you started from somewhere, bro. Right. Everybody
somebody
just
put
lit.
You on.
You know what I'm saying?
Somebody gave you a chance.
100%. Yeah. Like niggas really, when niggas talking about I'm trapping. So no, real life trapping, you starting from the ground up, getting your bag up. Like I grew up with a nigga, I'm not getting off subject, but I'm gonna get back to you. Like, we had this one nigga, I'll tell you his name later because I don't want to put him out there. When we was young, we had this one nigga who his parents always had shit or whatever. And they like, yeah, he got the birds or whatever. I'm like, yo, like, his parents had wild businesses. It's easy to start off selling weight. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just start off with all the money and like it's easy to start off like. The reason some of the most successful hustlers or workers, whoever, period, is when you learn that value of a dollar, learn that value of hustling by going through a bunch of bullshit in the beginning. So when you get to that point, you still gonna take losses. It's the game. It's whatever.
Right.
But you kind of know what you're doing, and I ain't gonna make this move because I remember when I had this, or I done made me $10,000, made me $50,000, whatever. I ain't about to be reckless with the shit because I realize when I ain't have $100. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that should be the difference. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad you said I started off being a driver.
And real quick, I'm glad that homeboy said, let me show you how to drive.
Yeah.
Because me and you both know, I'm sure you know, way too many people, right, who lost large amounts of their life just because they didn't know how to drive. Because they had to smoke.
Listen, go ahead.
They had to do whatever. They had to play the music a certain way. They had to, like, dress a certain way.
And I commend the nigga who did that.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I've lost bread sending a motherfucker somewhere like, yo, you good, you know how to, and then they smoke or they do whatever, and I lose my bread or whatever. I got to bail a motherfucker out and get him a lawyer. And it'd be like, that's my fault. You know what I'm saying?
And straight up, I'm going to tell you, man. Like, even though me and these cats didn't have a good ending at the end of everything, but the shit they taught me is why I survived.
Okay.
Like, straight up. That's why I had to take the frames off of that, because shit, that shit is the reason why I never did time.
Okay. Word.
Because
they taught you how to move. They taught you how to move.
That highway is serious. Just knowing how to move is serious. And me coming from the country, and I don't want to touch on this too much, but when I linked up with these niggas, I was pimping on the side too.
Okay.
So I had hoes checking paper too. Not like these rap niggas talk about, like, I'm a pimp and all this. Nah, real bitches checking paper. Like, so I dress loud, bright colors and all this shit. And them niggas told me, if you gonna do what we doing, you gotta tone all that shit down.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Stuart was crazy back in the 90s and shit, all the way up until recently, really. You know, once that shit went to the
Stuart web. Stuart Ave, we're talking about Stuart Ave.
Stuart Ave, yep.
So you're talking about how you would even be like on some pimp, doing some pimping shit on the side, like that shit was just open season like that?
It was crazy because being from the South, we listen to Southern rappers.
Yeah, we don't know anything about
that. And then Southern hip hop, like, that's all it was about. It was some pimp shit, get some money shit. Yeah. So I became infatuated with that pimp shit.
Okay.
Like, I even went and had a hat made and put pimp across the front in high school. And my dad,
that's crazy,
damn near beat me down. Yeah. Like, nigga, do you know what a pimp is? Like, do you, can you disrespect your mama, fuck your mama, tell your mama fuck you? Like, a pimp don't care about nothing.
Yeah, but that bag.
Yeah, I always thought it was bugged out. I could never relate to that. Like, when I saw, when we got introduced to, like, Atlanta music and, like, T.I. had, like, Pimp Squad click. I'm like, what the fuck? Why would you, like, I never could. But I just couldn't relate to that.
That was our culture. Yeah. We grew up, hearing it, seeing it.
It's like, go ahead.
Being from the country, when I moved to Atlanta, I was still 17.
Yeah.
And my first job, once I got to Morris Brown, was at the airport. I worked at Sunglass Hut. Mm-hmm. So I'm already infatuated with pimping through the music. Yeah. And then one day, it's an accident on 85. So I got off work at the airport, and I'm trying to get to my dorm at Morris Brown, but it's an accident. So Metropolitan runs straight up, which was Stewart Ave back then.
Right.
So I jump off on Stewart and take it toward the dome, and I see pimping in real life for the first time.
Mm.
So me, I'm a young cat from the South that was very, like, I wanted, if I like something, I'm gonna try to figure out how I can
do it. Yeah, yeah.
So immediately I pulled over to a spot called Chocolate City because I saw all the pimps hanging out front. Okay. And the bitches coming back and forth.
Yeah.
So I jumped out on some, damn, how y'all doing this shit? Yeah. Like, I wasn't scared to ask questions.
Yeah. Right.
That's another thing. I ask questions. I ain't too proud, got too much pride. I ask if I want to know something.
Yeah.
And them niggas told me, they basically pulled my coat and gave me the game because I asked.
Mm.
And I used to just go out there and hang with them and ask them questions, and that's how I learned how to catch a bitch.
Okay.
And I caught all my hoes on day shift.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. It's the difference between day shift hoes and night shift.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so.
So back to.
Back to you walking the track.
You in the Midwest. Yeah. Now you're fucking with the Midwest dudes. They showed you how to drive. And you start turning up with the Midwest niggas.
Right.
So is you getting money at this point?
At this point, I'm getting money compared to what I was making.
Yeah.
Okay.
But down the road, I realized, like, shit, I got to break away somehow from this driving shit because these cats were so cold. Like, they reversed the game on me because I'm thinking, I'm going to show how loyal I am, and I'm going to benefit from that.
Nah, you ain't bad. You're just going to be stuck in that place.
You're going to be a driver.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I became the best driver you ever wanted. My first trip, I had $380,000 in a stash spot in a Honda.
Mm.
My first trip. Okay. I get pulled over.
Now, where are you going?
I'm going to Houston.
Okay.
I'm leaving Atlanta, going to Houston. And I get pulled over in Lafayette, Louisiana at 3:45 in the morning. And it's fucking 40 degrees.
Georgia plates.
The fucking state patrol pulled me out the whip, and my man Dad with me. So we was cold because my story was, we going to a wedding.
Yeah.
His daughter getting married. We did an invitation and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, we had our shit together.
Yeah.
So they asked me, where y'all going? We all this. And I'm like, shit, we got a wedding to be 2 a.m.
Right.
Like, and it's cold, it's 40 degrees. I ain't got my jacket on. Yeah. I'm standing out there shivering. He like asking me all these questions. Let me search the car. Let me do this. Let me do that. I'm like, nah, you can't do none of that because I ain't did nothing illegal.
Yeah,
right.
Like, what was the excuse
to pull you over?
The excuse to pull me over is like two black dudes in a car
driving
in the middle of the night.
I-10.
I just wanted you to put that out there.
Hey, and And back then, I-10 was the only highway I knew that would sit in the middle with their lights facing the traffic. Like traffic going this way, they would sit with their lights facing you.
Yeah.
And look like, inside the car like,
to see who's driving.
And yeah. Blind you for that moment.
Exactly. But straight racial profile.
100%.
Straight
profile. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
And mind you, they did it that way because this was before the X-ray shit. See, they ain't had an X-ray game going back then. Mm-hmm. We talking okay. late 90s.
Okay.
So I'm standing out there. He trying to break me. But mind you, I was still young. And I had balls of steel back then.
Yeah.
I would never do the shit I did back then now.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I'd be feeling the same way.
But I didn't give a fuck. He wasn't going to break me. Like, I'm not going to bow down. Like, nah, you can't search.
Yeah.
You can't search. You're going to either let me go or whatever.
Because they can't bring the dogs. Like, when you get pulled over, like, around your neighborhood or in the city area, it's easy to say, no, you can't search. And they say, okay, the dog's going to be here. The dog's coming. But on the highway, the dogs ain't around the corner.
Dogs came on the highway for me before.
I mean, they will come, but they're not around the corner. That's what I'm
saying.
Yeah.
See, back in the day, back in the late 90s, it might have been one dog in the whole precinct.
But I just want to touch on that real quick. Because it's a lot of fake lawyer motherfuckers that try to outsmart you and say, why'd you let them search the car?
Correct.
Right? In any situation. But anybody who's been through it knows as soon as you say no, they're saying, okay, that's fine, sir. We're bringing the dogs.
And they're going to detain you and
bring the dogs. Right, right. So I just want to put that out there because you got a lot of fake lawyers and, you know, dudes that say, yo, I ain't let them. And all that shit's bullshit. They will bring the dogs.
And they've changed the laws since then because even if they can say you didn't make a full stop at the stop sign or you were speeding, guess what? That's probable cause now.
Yeah. Let me tell you what.
Because you broke the law.
Let me tell you how deep it get. And a very respectable lawyer told me this. When you say no, you cannot search my car. That is probable cause in court.
See?
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason.
There's a reason you're saying no. So go ahead.
I can't say when they passed that new law.
Right, right.
But before, if you said they couldn't search, they couldn't search.
Okay.
If they didn't have you with a ticket or something, they couldn't search.
Okay.
So you told them they couldn't search.
They told them they couldn't search. They held me for like, 30, hell, it seemed like an hour. It might have been 20 minutes. Yeah. It might have been 10, but it seemed like it was forever because it was cold as fuck out there. But they end up letting me go because I wasn't going to break for them. So we make it to Houston, and I meet up with my man, and unbeknownst to me, I'm not knowing what I'm walking into. Okay. And mind you, once again, I said, this is my first trip to Houston.
Yeah. In your mind, you're still kind of a college kid just finding your way.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you end up with almost 400 grand in a car.
Exactly.
You in deep.
So I'm deep.
Yeah.
I'm in deep than I even understand.
Yeah, right.
So when we get there, we meet up with my man, jump in the car with him. We go meet the plug. We go to the plug house. And I'm not knowing this man ain't paid his tab from the last time he was here.
Oh. You on some Scarface shit. This like in Blow.
And this money is no got bullshit, bro. This man meet with dude, tell him whatever conversation they have, he come back to the car with me and say, you're going to have to go back to the hotel. Take the car back to the hotel because I got to go across the way with him. That's the only way he going to do it. I got to go with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if I don't come back, you know where everything at. I'm fucking 20.
Yeah. Right.
My first time being this deep.
Right.
Nigga. Imagine what was going through my fucking mind.
Right. You live in a movie right now.
You might be next. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm not knowing nothing about Houston. My first time in Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we made a few, we y'all turned got, a few corners.
Y'all got
MapQuest.
Y'all ain't even got a navigation system.
We ain't got shit back then. Ain't no navigation. Yeah. Ain't, hell, I didn't take the time to pick up a map because I've known how to read it. I'm from the country. We learned in school how to read maps.
I definitely don't know how to read it.
Yeah, so I can pull out a map right now and get us wherever we need to go.
I'll be lost. The globe.
But
I don't know.
This man tell me to go back to the hotel and just wait for him to come back. Mm-hmm. But still not understanding how deep I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, at first I'm scared, like, damn, what the fuck going on? But then I'm like, fuck it. Yeah. I'm going to the mall. Yeah. I'll wait for this nigga to come back.
Okay. Yeah.
So he get back, we go to get to work. I'm sitting in the car with the bread. We pull up to a warehouse. He like, shit, when I call you, I'm gonna need you to bring the bag in. So I'm sitting outside. I walk into the warehouse when he called me. And nigga, I walk in, there's guns everywhere.
Yeah.
Like real life shit.
Yeah.
And this man, I give him the bag and I walk back out. Like, I text my roommate from the dorm, like, hey, bro, this is where I'm at. This is the city.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
If you don't hear from me no more,
it's for the fuck
this is the last place you heard from me at.
So you, wow.
That's real.
How much you get paid for this job?
Nothing. Like, it was pennies. Like, off of that one trip, they bought 14 things. I made $500 off of each. But get peep this, though. They didn't have to go back to Atlanta. You want to know where them 14 went? I had to drive them from Houston to Atlanta, from Atlanta to Chicago.
I'm just doing the math in my head. $380,000. 14 joints. That don't add up. So he was paying his debt too.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, but
he sent
with
you
somebody else money on top of that.
Right. He sent you because so he's homeboy is creating degrees of separation so he can get away with certain things.
Yep.
Okay, so
and that's what taught me that game.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because he was playing everybody.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And eventually you, I'm pretty sure, at the end.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
But still, at 20 years old, 500 times 14.
It's still
14,
a lot of money. You,
500
you
times 14
8 grand
is okay.
Or some shit like that. So,
and what I did with that, I invested all what I was making into the weed we could get from the same
plug.
Person. So,
the same plug that you just met in Houston?
Yep.
So
because when he first met him at Run and Shoot, he asked him what he could do with weed.
Exactly.
He didn't tell him he got birds on that too. Because you don't care about that.
That ain't my thing. That's never.
But at where at 20 years old, when you under this amount of pressure, and of course you being told, yo, go wait, go do this. How the fuck do you start that conversation? You're like, yo, can I get some weed? Like, where does that conversation? How the fuck do you do that?
Not with the plug. You already fucking with the Midwest.
See, right. Okay. Okay. So I go to them and say,
Okay. You ain't jumped the middleman.
No,
I
ain't do that because
do that.
I was still green to some point.
Okay.
To a certain extent. I was still green. So I wasn't going to cross them out.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm thinking the more loyal I show them.
And you're putting that bread. Putting that bread back in shows
right.
loyalty. All right. So get to
so
that.
So they start letting me get the weed like. This is when regular was still being sold. So we was getting that shit for $250, $350 a pound back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So I take that shit to the country. I was making $1,000, but I was telling them niggas I wasn't getting but $700.
Of course.
Yeah.
Cause guess what? They were sending their shit with me too. And I knew they didn't want me to eat off of their shit.
Yeah.
They thought I was just doing favors. I was
right.
that
you was loyal. You was loyal.
Right. But I figured it out quick enough. To know, like, you know what? They ain't gonna really let me eat but what I take.
Word.
Yeah.
So I started telling them, like, well, shit, this is all we can get off of this.
Right.
That's how I made my money.
Put your money on the tap.
Yep. Because they tried to run this game on me. Oh, we got a pot. Like, nah.
I realized that pot was for them. It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Cause I'm driving to work. I'm selling the work. I'm bringing the money back. Like shit,
y'all doing everything.
I get a phone call one day.
They just the bank. They just the bank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I get a phone call one day. Shit, your people's in the club balling. I'm in Dayton, Ohio. I'm 21. I'm in Dayton, Ohio.
How many trips? Hustling with niggas. How many trips in are you in at this point?
Shit, I'm probably 10, 15 trips in by now.
Okay.
So. I'm in Dayton, Ohio, hustling to niggas they know.
Yeah.
I'm in an apartment. I'm safe. But I get a phone call from one of my bitches. Like, shit, where you was at last night? Them niggas was in the club balling.
Yeah.
I said, how they balling and I'm up here working?
Yeah, you ain't reaping the benefit.
No.
Yeah. Right.
So how long?
Peep how God worked though. Let me get all the way real. Peep how God worked.
Okay.
Because shit was getting really real. We're gonna fast forward probably.
Let's fast forward.
5-6 months into back and forth or whatever. Mm-hmm. I get a phone call. I'm gassing up. I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm gassing up at the gas station. I get a phone call from my mom. And she like, how you doing? Whatever. I got a call from my pastor last night. Did you apply for a job in Ohio? I said, nah, what's up?
Yeah.
She say, pastor called me last night and asked me, told me he got a phone call for a reference for a job in Ohio. Mm. So I said, man, I ain't applying for no job. I'm in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I ain't looking for no job in Ohio.
Yeah.
So she said, okay. Now, mind you, I'm dead in it in Ohio. So I'm like, man, why the fuck would, how anybody know I'm here?
Yeah.
I ain't did no credit card transaction, no checks, no nothing. It's straight cash. So how anybody know where I'm at?
Yeah.
I said, you know what? This shit deep. I got off the phone with my mom. I thought about it for a minute. I called them cats like, hey, man, I'm putting everything up in the apartment. Shit, y'all handle that shit. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I went back to Georgia. 2 weeks later, I find out the niggas I was selling to got indicted.
Dang.
I'm like, I missed that by that much. Just, if I would have just stayed down and finished, I'd have been in that shit.
Yeah. So you keep fucking with the Midwest niggas after that?
Keep fucking with them. I keep fucking with them. Probably 2 years down the road.
They didn't take a loss off that situation? Off you leaving the joint, they didn't take a loss?
Nah, they finished what they was doing, but they took a loss because the niggas they were selling to there
got indicted.
Got knocked.
But they didn't look at you like you should have stayed?
Nah.
Okay.
So we ain't had no issues behind that, but I left. I ain't been back to Ohio to this day.
Real shit.
Word. I've never been back.
Word.
Okay. So.
So I come back and I just continue doing what I'm doing back home.
Now, in this whole time, even in the A, you throwing parties?
I hadn't got there yet.
Okay.
See, we're going to fast forward some more. So we're talking 2000, year 2000.
Basically, you already got the hustle mentality, but you know you need to transition.
Right.
So do you break ways with the Midwest?
Not yet. I stay down. I'm loyal. Remember, I'm super loyal.
Okay.
I stay all the way down. We open a dealership. We do all type of shit, but me not knowing as the young cat, like, it ain't my dealership. Yeah.
That's a good point. Y'all niggas be saying, yo, me and my mans, we got a club, we got this and that, we got a tax business. Like, bro, what do you got?
Right.
Like, and not, you not wrong because you in the whole situation and you think it's ours. I'm talking about niggas who grown.
Right.
Who like, yeah, me and my mans got, bro, you know you don't got shit.
You don't have
like, you ain't got shit going on.
Because,
bro. Like,
Niggas had me convinced, like, we really had a team pot.
A family.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So it's our dealership. It's our this. Yeah. Nah, man.
Word.
I realized that shit down the road, so we're going to fast forward 2003. Man, I finally get to the point where I'm like, fuck this shit, man.
Yeah.
Because I ain't reaping the benefits like I should.
Like y'all,
and they having to run out this
and you taking all the risk.
Them niggas all the risk on
and first of all, this is old Atlanta. Like even we talking about condos and shit like that and all that.
Right.
Like shit wasn't $2,500 a month, $3,000. Boy, you spend you $1,200, $1,300, you all right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And peep this, niggas putting down payments on condos that ain't even broke ground yet.
Yeah.
And I'm not even knowing, like, shit.
Yeah.
This is the money I'm going out and grinding for. Yeah. Taking the risk on.
Yeah.
So, eventually, I wake up. Okay, let me fast forward a little bit. So, rewind so I can get you to where I'm about to go. Now, when the cat from Oakland robbed me, me and my best friend from
back
home.
He ain't robbed you, bro. He stole from me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a difference.
When he stole from me.
Feel like a robber.
You're right. Because that shit hurt.
Yeah, you got it right.
One of my partners from back home had just got in bed with me. Like, he put some bread in it, right?
Yeah.
So when the shit went down, he lost too.
Yeah.
But I'm not knowing the whole time when it happened, he thinking I took his bread.
Oh.
Now, this is my best friend from the second grade.
Okay.
But he never came to me and said,
I feel like you did funny
that.
Shit.
But when your money get lost, you look at everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Real shit.
But he looked at me like I did this shit because a couple months later, I found another situation being the Midwest cats.
Yeah.
But he had every opportunity to get in with me again.
Yeah.
But because he was feeling that way,
he
didn't.
Right.
But he didn't. He never told me he felt that way.
Right.
Because we could have had that conversation.
Definitely.
If he did.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, fast forward. This is probably 2003. I'm getting ready to do a deal with my man who was invested with me. I go home. He say he want 20. I get there. He pay for 7. Pay for 7, say I get the rest of them tomorrow. So I leave with the 13.
He about to go sell them 7 traffic.
I leave with the 13. We wake up the next morning. I'm calling his phone. He ain't answering. So we go to Waffle House. We eat. I run into my uncle's girlfriend. She like, what you doing down here? Because I used to sneak in. Nobody knew I was there.
Yeah.
Do my thing and get back out. Because I never wanted my family to know
of course.
What I was doing.
Of course.
So I'm prolonging the process. My little man with me, he like, bro, let's go. This shit ain't right. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, nah, this my nigga. Like,
we
good.
Well, we was talking about the other day. Go with your first mind. Go with your gut.
Gut. So he finally called me. We're sitting in the Waffle House. He finally called. Hey, meet me at this store. All right, I'll be there. Whole time, my gut telling me, don't go. Just go on back to Atlanta. Just go on back to Atlanta. So I pull up at the store. He ain't there. He says, I call him, where you at, bro? I'm down the street. Come. I'm about to pull in. Just follow me. So I follow him. We go down this dirt road. He jump out. He said, where is that? I jump out my whip, open my trunk. Here it is right here. He pull out his pistol. All right, let me have that. I'm like, me? Bruh, like, for real? You pulling a pistol on me?
He took them 2 days or whatever to hype himself up. Like, he was convincing himself.
So
that shit wasn't easy for him.
Right. So he take the bag, jump in his whip, but
this your friend since second grade?
Since the second grade. But my little man had a pistol on him.
But he got you. He felt that you got him before.
Right. And I only found that out later in life.
But that's why he had to hype himself up for them couple days.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So my little man got a pistol on him. Yeah. I don't even take pistols to a deal. Never took pistols to a deal. Because if I got to do that, I can't fuck with you.
Word.
So my little man in the car, like, what you going to do? I said, man, give me that two. I'm chasing him down the dirt road.
You already gave him the 13.
Shit, he took it because he pulled a pistol on me.
Yeah.
He jump in his truck and scratch out.
Yeah.
I get the pistol from my little man. I'm busting out the sunroof, chasing him. And it's not until I damn near swerve out, lose control, I stop. Like, fuck.
It's a wrap.
I just took a L again.
Right.
My little man quiet because he younger than me. He don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, how I'm gonna tell motherfucker I just lost my whole bag to my best friend. Because guess what? When I told him my man wanted 20, you know what they asked me? Mm-hmm. What'd he normally buy? I said,
five.
He normally get four or five.
But nah, this my man.
You sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
I say, yeah, this is my man.
Yeah.
So when I tell them about it, they're like, shit, you want us to come down there? I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
I handle it. Let me handle it. So we on the way back to Atlanta, nigga called me like, shit, bro, you shot me. I said, nigga, I tried to kill you. What the fuck you mean?
Yeah.
Shot you.
Yeah.
It's like, nigga. So.
So you hit him with one of them joints.
10 years later, just to get this story out the way, 10 years later, he show up at my mama house. I'm home. He asked me to step outside and talk to him. He looked fucked up. Everything.
Down bad.
He said, man, I just want to apologize. I said, apologize for what? He said, I just want to apologize for what happened. Like, when the nigga came to my house, my old man was sitting beside me. He knew what happened. I never told my mom.
Yeah.
My mom let him in.
Right.
So when he came in, my dad looking at me like, shit, what you want to do? Like, what are you doing here? Because I know what happened between y'all.
Yeah. Right.
So we go on the porch and I talk to him. He like, man, I just want to apologize for what I did. I said, but why did you do it? Mm. He said, man, because when that shit happened with the nigga in Oakland, I felt like you did it. Everybody was telling me you took it. I said, that's where you fucked up at, nigga. You ain't talk to me.
Exactly.
So he was like, man, I just wanted to be like it used to be. Now, it'll never be like that. Yeah, I'll forgive you, but we'll never be like it used to be.
No.
Real shit.
So that shit happened.
Nah, but that's a lesson learned. And
that
even
was a
for everybody,
major lesson.
That, you know, and everybody listening right now is going to be like, that's relatable because I'm sure. When you get in this, like, lines get blurred, friendships get fucked up, money gets involved.
And real shit, you everything. Feel like your family and your friends will never cross you like that.
And the illest part about it in life, what I tell people all the time, in anything, communication is the
communication
key.
Rule the nation.
Communication.
Pimp told me that. Communication rule the nation.
Real shit.
If you ain't communicating well, like, we can't do business. We can't do business. We can't have no relationship.
The president of the United States gets elected off his ability to communicate.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Speeches, whatever. Communication is it. Like, it's just deep like that. If you can't get across your point, you ain't shit.
Right.
So all right, we skipping past
pushing.
That.
We off
that situation. You still fucking with the Midwest, nigga.
Still fucking with the Midwest cats, and we doing business. But let's say a year after me and my best friend robbed me. So a year after that, my cousin get killed. I drop him off some work. 2 weeks later, I get a call from his sister. Like, have you heard or seen from dude? Because I ain't going to say no names on none of this shit.
Right.
Have you seen or heard from him? I'm like, no. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was missing.
Right.
So, time go by, and I find out later on, like, my cousin was kidnapped, burned,
ran over by a car, all this shit, cats trying to rob him.
Damn. So you lose the work and you lose your peoples.
Right. And on top of that, it's like so much shit happened back to back. I'm at the point like, This shit ain't for me.
You have to say the shit exactly when you say
this shit ain't for me.
Yo, like, you have that moment so many times. So many times you ignore that moment though. Keep it real. Like so many times. Yeah, you take an L and you say it ain't for me, but then the next day, you're like fuck, I don't feel right not getting no money.
Right.
Yeah. Let me go.
I think even when we was talking about him taking an L and him realizing it wasn't for you, like it's a lot of points, like when we was talking about off camera, where you feel that might be true, but in certain situations, you can't stop. You know what I'm saying?
So, I got to say something. Go ahead. I'm glad you said that. That shit's crazy, right? Because if you're working a legitimate job, right, and you face hardships, right, like somebody says you don't get the promotion, right, you'd be like, oh, maybe the same for me, and then you keep working harder, and you get to your, you achieve whatever. If you're a basketball, football player, you get cut. Like Michael Jordan got cut, right? You go back and work harder. When you hustling, it's different. Because when you say it's not for you, it's a logical answer. Because it's not for anybody.
Right.
Hustling is not for anybody.
It wasn't created for us.
It's not for anybody, right? But you like, you know what? Maybe if I took this loss, if I increase my risk, I could win.
I'm going to go all out the next time. I lost $20,000. Yeah. I only got $10,000 left. I'm going to put it all.
It's a whole different world. It's a whole different mentality that's exclusive for hustlers. Because in a legitimate world, you increase your work ethic. You increase your drive. You increase all these things, the hours you dedicate to your passion and all that. And it results in reward in the end. Right. In a hustler's world, it results in prison for life.
Death.
Or prison. Ran over, burnt, all that crazy all shit that you talking about your cousin. Shit, and I'm not disrespecting him. I don't even know what happened to him yet.
Yeah.
Like, rest in peace if he's dead. Okay, rest in peace. But, like, those are the consequences for illegal transactions. Yeah. Like, it's a whole...
Not that you didn't get the promotion.
Right. Not that, like, your girl, you cried in front of your girl for the first time or some dumbass shit like that. This is real life repercussions.
Real life, real shit.
You have to really question yourself when you're in that game, because you know the feeling that making money gives you. It gives you the feeling of purpose. It gives you the feeling of like, yo, I'm back. I'm back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm making progress. I'm living my life. I'm back. But in real time, yeah, you back, but your risk just increased crazy.
Crazy.
And now you're in a whole different game. So I don't mean to deviate from your story, bro, but it's just real shit. So you on your mission, right? You done had loss after loss. Your best friend crossed you, right? Dudes that put you in the game crossed you. You fuck with these dudes that you know treating you like shit. Now you at a crossroads. You at a point where you like, yo, I've been through all this. I done proved my loyalty. What the fuck do I do? But I'm in the A that's popping, and I got a couple dollars. So where do you go from here, bro?
And where I went from that point, when I realized this shit is getting too heavy, it ain't for me. I gotta fall back. And this is 2003. The cat that I told y'all about in the beginning that was getting cussed out by the Midwest cat, he was a designer. Crazy shit. He was a great artist.
Okay.
And he had some ideas.
All right.
And he... Nobody wouldn't believe in his shit. Right. He stepped to me one day. He was like, what you think about it? I said, bro, I'm about to. Because we was all still clicked up.
Yeah. Right. Designer and what? What you mean? Like fashion?
He was a graphic.
Oh, graphic.
Graphic and fashion designer.
Okay.
So I was like, shit, bro, what it's going to cost for you to jump this off? Because I'm about to say, fuck these niggas.
Yeah.
And he told, like... He just needed help. So I invested everything I had.
Okay.
And on top of that, he was doing graphic design for Ludacris.
Okay.
So I'm like, shit, bro, I need something to do outside of what I'm going to do with you. I just need something to keep me busy because I'm used to going and making money.
Right.
So he introduced me to the chick that ran Ludacris Foundation.
Okay.
And I told her straight up, like, listen, I'm coming from the streets, but I need an exit. So whatever you can give me to do or allow me to do, I just need to do something. Right. Like, because I'm done with the game. My cousin just died. Right. I done been through too much.
So you cold turkey. You
cold right turkey. Right. I say, you know what? I'm.
You taking- know who you are? You're who you're supposed to be. You're yeah. the same dude going into college. What they called you in coming into college?
Righteously.
Righteous. You righteously again.
Yep.
That's what you're trying to be.
Yep.
Because that's really you.
True story. See, you caught it before the end. Yeah. But
yeah.
she gave me an opportunity and opened the door for me, you know, in so many ways. And I thank her for that. Because she gave me a job at the Ludacris Foundation.
Okay. Mm.
And I told her, because I told her, I don't want to do this shit no more.
Yo, shout out to everybody that gives people jobs.
Yeah.
Understand, like, when you're story, in a hiring like position, when you're in a hiring position, the people you give jobs to, make sure they deserve it. Make sure. Yeah.
I'm about to say, give a job where it got meaning. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. It ain't about that I went to college and I interned.
My resume is perfect.
Nah, it ain't about yeah. yeah. like, yeah. see the passion. Right. And somebody else exactly. when you time.
You're changing people's lives. You like, do that. Corporate America, do that
my
shit.
Life.
Word. Okay. So keep it moving.
So I got to that point. I started working with the Ludacris Foundation. And that's when I really got my foot in the ground in Atlanta.
Okay. Okay.
So that's when Atlanta Cat started fucking with me.
And you transitioned from some driving.
This the BMF era.
BMF era strong.
Okay, let's go. Wait, so like, what you went
so
to?
So 2003, I'm working for the Ludacris Foundation, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to make my move to even, because I already know I'm not about to stay down with this.
Right,
it's
right,
just
right,
going
right,
to catapult
right.
me to yeah. whatever right. I figure out I'm going to do.
Right.
I wanted to do parties because, like I said, I went to the... I don't remember the name of the shit,
yeah.
but where Alex was promoting back in the day on okay. Marietta Street. I'm like, shit, this is what I want to do because I used to throw house parties in the yeah. country.
Right.
So I'm like, shit, I ain't know you can make money off this shit for real.
Right, off partying.
Yeah.
Right.
So I said, I'm going to take the coins I'm making and we're going to do some parties. So me and a couple cats said, we're going to do some parties. And guess what? The night we did a party, just so happened, AG popped up a party on us. I lost my whole bag that night.
Everybody used to say they wanted to kill Alex. You say yeah. so you got somebody like, let's just say Jadakiss when he was hot. He get Diddy and your shit would just be fucked on the same night you do yep. your shit. Yeah. When he hears, you got a party that's kind of popping.
Right.
Niggas used to want to kill Alex. Yeah. You know
so
saying?
I lost my bag and it made me think like, damn. I don't have enough money to compete with this man.
Yeah.
Like, shit, I salute dude. Yeah. Like, he do his thing. But I said, I got to figure out a way around this shit because right. it's something ain't nobody thinking about.
Right.
But I remember what my man, Dr. Todd, my advisor from college, told me. Said, do what you like to do.
Yeah.
Make some money that, go out and find a way to make money with something that you love. I said, shit, I like going to these fucking strip clubs, talking to these bitches. Yeah. Like, so if I'm hanging in the strip club, why I can't make no money in it?
Yeah.
So I said, fuck it. Ain't no promoters doing. And back then, let me be clear. It was probably only 4 promoters in the city.
Okay. Speak about it.
4. It ain't. AG, Cloud9, Metro Boys. And maybe one more I can't even think about.
Right, right.
And then me. But I say, shit, I got to find my own lane, though, because I ain't got enough money to compete.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I started going around the strip clubs. Like, shit, let me promote parties. And back then, strip clubs across the country, they didn't let females in without an escort. Like, you had to be with your man to get in.
Like
the
strip how fathers do.
Right.
Right.
So
you can't
how,
just be in there
nah,
with no chicks
because
y'all
out.
Ain't spending no money.
Right.
You come there with a dude, you know he's right. going to spend a bag. You got to come in
right.
with
and
a
And then right. you know how nowadays the DJ be like, y'all niggas ain't spending no money. Yeah. Like, y'all yeah. need to go home. Like, that wasn't a problem back in the day because yeah. there was a 2-drink minimum. And if you didn't, like, you knew you it was time for you to get the fuck out of here because you was going to get clowned.
Okay.
So I went around to every club in the city, and they told me no. Like, nah, we don't need no promoter. Mm. But it was this club on the west side, Body Tap.
Okay.
It burned down, and they had just remodeled and reopened. I said, fuck it, this is my last shot. I'm going to go over here and talk to them.
Yeah.
So I went over there and talked to them. And I was like, fuck it, we'll give it a try. We ain't getting no business because nobody don't know we remodeled. Yeah, and we back open.
Yeah.
So every cat that I knew from my past experience, like, they came. And then I met this, I met a guy named Big Pulu, my partner. We end up being partners in the promotion game. I knew him from his cousin because his cousin wife had a clothing store, one of the first boutiques in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And he was part of a crew that was linked with BML.
Okay.
So I met Pulu and I told Pulu if we link up, like, shit, I got a deal. We can do. You ain't nothing. You saying yeah, we you want to throw parties.
Right. But we can really do it.
We can really do it.
Yeah. Okay.
So we crank it up. And I had a plan. I knew if I locked in with Pulu, I knew that granted me connections with the crew.
Yeah. Because BMF, their name was ringing.
Right.
Crazy.
Right.
This 04 or this still 03?
This 04. All
right.
This 04. So we cranked the party up. And it changed the game. Let me tell you something. There would not be all these strip clubs popping without my formula.
Okay. Mm. Talk that what? Shit. Which get your what? Credit.
Without your my formula? Formula.
Tell me your
my
formula.
My formula was, we're going to bring the regular party into the strip club.
Yes.
We're going to allow females to come in here and kick it. Because guess what? If a nigga can get a butt naked bitch and a regular bitch at the same time, we winning.
Word.
So she gave me the opportunity.
So you're the reason why the strip club is like the regular club now. Because the strip club is like.
I take that.
Okay. You got to eat that.
I take that.
Nah, real shit.
And, it, you know, I ain't even going to get into how it's gone so far that it's fucked it up now.
Right. But well, whatever.
In the beginning, like, I created that.
Okay.
And every celebrity you can think of came and paid me homage because, and I never paid a celebrity to come in my party. Mm. Never in life paid a celebrity to come in my party.
What's the biggest celeb that you feel like came through? Were you just surprised? Shit. Like, I can't believe they came.
Man, they was in there every week. The biggest, I would have to say.
Name all the celebrities.
Diddy. JD, Nelly, Janet, Floyd Mayweather, Common, Kanye West. Shit, I mean, I can go on.
Yeah, now, listen, is this just at Body Tap? Or you
this is just at Body Tap.
This is just at Body Tap.
Okay. This is just at Body Tap, shit.
Because you created an environment.
BET Uncut did they last episode at my party.
Because you created an environment, right? There was a strip club without the bad connotation of a strip club.
I changed how they looked at the strip club.
Right.
See, because before I started throwing parties in the
you
strip club,
you turned the strip club into just a club.
Right.
Right. Okay.
It was still like
it's just a bunch of naked women around.
Right.
Okay. All right.
See, it was still taboo to go to a strip club before I did my thing.
It was
thing.
Still kind of low key.
I'm going to go for that coming from up top. When I first moved out here.
Yeah, we didn't like strip clubs.
So motherfucker going to the strip club.
Yeah, just to
throw
out
all his money and then go home with no bitch. You know what I'm saying, nigga?
And you from New York.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
Peep this shit. California is known for pimping back in the day.
Okay.
Now they got strip club. They into the strip club.
Everybody,
shit.
Yo,
New York is every strip club now, and it wasn't like that.
It wasn't like
you
that.
So you telling me you started the countrywide strip club movement?
Yeah,
that's no real shit. That's what you're saying.
That.
What was the name of your company? So they
that's what you're saying.
Rich Life.
Okay. I heard that before.
Rich Life. So that was me.
But did somebody else have a Rich Life?
Yes, they did.
But after you.
after me. Okay. And the crazy part about it is my shit had been popping for a couple years. Like, we was doing strip club parties, and then I get a phone call from my man back home, like, hey, bro, we got a party. We got a party.
Yeah, because it's the crew.
I'm like, nah, ain't shit going on. He's like, bruh, some cats got a party going on tonight down here in Savannah.
Right.
Rich life.
Your hometown. Rewind all the way back, like the old school. You hit play and rewind at the same time.
Okay.
You know that. You know that flow.
Yes.
What is it?
My town.
Okay.
Like, they doing rich life parties in Savannah at my homegirl club, Frozen Paradise.
Frozen Paradise. That sounds terrible.
I've been there.
Where?
Facts.
Get the fuck out of here.
Definitely been there.
I'm like, we're gonna have to talk about it. Because
they used to have Orange Crush and all that shit down there.
Yes.
Facts. Yeah, facts.
Yes. Orange Crush.
Yeah.
So I'm home.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
My niggas like, man, them niggas got a party tonight. You want to pull up?
Yeah.
I said, of course we're going to pull up. So we pull up to the club.
You home?
Yeah, I'm in Savannah.
Oh, my God.
I'm in Savannah. I call up everybody. Hey, we're going out tonight.
Yeah.
So we go to the club. I see the cats who throwing the party. I come holler at me. Talk to me. What's
going
on?
Did you know them?
I knew his big brother. I didn't know him. I knew his big brother. Me and his brother had did a party together. And...
Are you gonna say his name, or it's not illegal? So
nah, you shit, ain't gonna... Bocce.
Okay.
Me and Bocce did a party together, and then all of a sudden, his little brother is claiming rich life down in Savannah,
but not in Atlanta.
Not in Atlanta.
Right.
But did he know that's a Savannah thing?
No,
or a Savannah person's thing.
But see, most people don't know I'm from Savannah.
But see, they're taking an Atlanta brand,
right?
Bringing this to Savannah, thinking they can get away with it.
That's like me saying I'm AG Entertainment.
Yeah,
I'm going up top. AG, the hottest party in Atlanta.
Exactly.
So we in the club, and shit, we run down on the cat. Like, shit, what's up, bro? Why you? I already asked you to stop using my name down here.
Yeah.
Like, this is my town.
Oh, you've heard him use it prior to that?
Yeah, I heard it prior, and I sent message through his brother. Uh-huh. Like, tell your brother to chill on that shit out of respect for his brother, because I didn't know him.
Yeah.
So, he didn't stop. And it's another cat that do parties here that was false repping Rich Life. Nigga named Smurf World. He doing his thing. They both doing their thing now, but that don't give you a pass on how you start.
Yeah, Smurf World a cool cat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know of them, but I don't know.
Right, but, and I ain't got no beef with none of them, but what I'm saying is, like, shit, that shit was fraud in the beginning.
Okay. So like, when you went and ran down on him, is it y'all mobbing? Like,
oh, we mobbed. We was about 15 deep.
Okay.
We mob like.
So
shit.
What's the?
So what? I'm getting phone calls from his big brother, Smurf, a couple other cats that you know had connections with Savannah and you know connections with the Bocce and his little brother. Like, let it go or whatever. So out of respect, you know, I let the shit ride, and it kind of fizzled out after that.
Okay,
niggas. Graduated from college and they came back to Atlanta and they started doing their own thing.
All right.
But just to, you know, tap back into the club shit, like, we did that shit. Like, everything you can think about that you see in a strip club, we created it.
Okay. So fast forward, right? Where we at? Like, that shit transpires, whatever. You solve it in whatever way you solve it, mm-hmm. right? But as far as what happens next for you, like what is your transition from that? You learned all this shit, bro. You came from being a driver, from a college student, to idolizing your pops because of his drug dealer's dreams, to risking it all, to your mom's having a fucking... A fucking prayer pastor or pastor to save your life, like all this shit. Like, when, like, G, you mentioned earlier, you caught a case, right?
Yeah, but see,
I'm still.
That was further down the line.
Right, that's further down the
line.
We
gotta get there.
I wanna go back because I'm still in this timeline, this part of shit, right? Did Jeezy try to kill you?
Yes. Yep.
Shit, that's a big deal.
So let's talk about that. So I'm still at Body Tap. And Jeezy calls my phone.
So Body Tap is the lick right now.
I was the lick 2005 through 2007. I dare a motherfucker tell me I wasn't a man in them 2 years.
Okay.
Like, everybody had to come see Rich Life on a Wednesday.
You was getting money.
We was getting money hand over fist.
It wasn't 8 promoters on the flyer. You know, right now.
It was 2.
It'd be 8 motherfuckers.
It was me and my dog, such and such.
Everybody's, like, you know.
We was laughing to the bank. Our party was Rich Life Wednesday. Every Thursday, we was laughing to the bank.
I definitely heard Rich Life Wednesday. Definitely. Go ahead.
So, one night we at the club. Jeezy called me. He said, "Dawg, I'm about to come through." I said, "Cool, come on." He said, "I got 15 people." I said, "You good, bro? Come on." Yeah. Because, mind you, on a side note, me and some cats created a marketing and design company as well. Yeah. And we designed Jeezy's first CTE logo.
Okay.
So we were cool. Like, we did business together. We hung out. Like, we kicked it. So he called me and tell me, "I'm coming through. I got 15 people in town with me." I'm like, cool. So I'm coming up the steps, Body Tap, which is V Live now. So if you know how V Live is set up, you know, coming up the steps and I'm walking toward the front door and I see just a bunch of people rushing the front door. That's my money.
Yeah.
So I run to the door like, ho, what's going on? Yeah. Like, why all these people just walking in? I don't see no money being exchanged.
Yeah.
So he to the side like, "Bro, this is my people." I'm like, "Hold on, bro. You told me 15.
Yeah.
This way more it's than 50. 15.
Yeah. It's just like it's like more like
so
50.
So I push like everybody out and I say, "You come talk to me."
Yeah.
So I look out the front door and I count everybody in front of the door. I'm like, "Bro, this 50 people. You told me 15. Yeah. Like, for real, how do you expect me to take this?" Yeah. So me and him, we going back and forth. He like, "Bro, these my people. Like, you making me look stupid." I said, "Man, didn't you say in your song, 'This how I'm eating now, so respect my grind?"
Yeah.
"Respect my grind, dog. Like, you said 15, that's 50.
Yeah.
So me and this man, we argued damn near fight. And that brought tension into our relationship. Because the owner superseded me and just let him on in.
So it made you look fucked up.
Right. So that's when our relationship was no longer cool.
Right.
Because it made me look stupid.
Right.
You know, so I moved from that. I grow from Onyx, Body Tap. Me and the owner of Body Tap, we have our differences. So I tell Pulu, I'm moving on.
Word.
He stay, I leave, I take Rich Life, we go to Onyx.
Do he still say Rich Life Wednesday?
No, he can't.
Okay.
Because that was my brand,
right.
You know. And I offered my man the opportunity to be a part of that brand, but nobody saw my vision at the time.
Right,
so
right.
You know, so, and that's neither here nor there, but I move on to Onyx and pop a Thursday night off, and Body Tap eventually closes after I leave.
After AJ, God bless the day, get killed. After
that was a reopening.
That was a reopening.
Yeah. Okay. See, AJ came in the picture, I want to say the third buyer.
Yeah, okay.
See, because people...
Honestly, that property is cursed to me. It never...
You ain't the first person to say
it's
that.
It's never pop. Like it's open, close.
Because I only had a 2-year run there.
Yeah. I don't know why, though. Like, that's
I don't know why.
But you know, go to Onyx.
I go to Onyx. I pop that off. And then Jeezy comes through one night. And he like, "Bro, you want to squash our beef?" I said, you know, because I'm not no confrontational person.
Yeah.
I'm not no thug. I'm not no gangster, but you will respect me at the end of the day. I'm a man.
Yeah.
So we come to an agreement. He paid for half of the people with him, and I let the rest of them in.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool, bro. It's no
respect
pressure.
My ground. Like, yeah,
that's it. That's all I wanted from the beginning.
I didn't have to pay you to come to my club.
If you would have said that from the beginning, if you'd be like, you know, it is 50, I'm going to pay for 20 of them, 25 of them, it would have been all good.
And we would have never had no issues.
Right.
So something happens maybe a year later where these guys that were affiliated with BMF, they came to me, they say, shit, Punch, we want to use your spot. Cuz told us we can do a party.
What year is this?
This is 2009.
Okay. Where we at?
Where some of them is coming home.
10?
All right, some of them is coming home.
Right. So we around 2009, but they tell me, he said they can do a party, but I'm like, shit, I don't want to be involved with it. Y'all pay me to rent my night.
Why you don't want to be involved with it?
Because it's still tension between us.
Okay, good.
You know, so I tell them, hey, y'all do the party. Just pay me for the spot. So they do the party. And I get a call the night of the party from Jeezy. Like, no, first Kinky called me, which was Jeezy's manager
Kinky
at the time.
Kinky B called me.
It's like, Ponch, what's going on? You doing a party? We not even in town. I said, bro, y'all know who doing the party.
Yeah.
I said, hold on. I call you right back. So I go get the cats that put the party together.
Yeah.
And I call Kink back. And they tell Kink straight up on the phone, like, listen, bro. Y'all know what time it is. Ponch ain't got nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all got a problem with what we doing, holler at us.
Why? Because he's had tension with them?
Because he was supposed to be.
They put him on the flyer.
They put him on the flyer, but he authorized it.
Okay.
He authorized it because he's supposed to be allowing them to get some money.
Yeah.
So after me and Kink talk, I get a call from Jeezy. Jeezy like, Punch, what the fuck, man? Why you ain't call me? Why you ain't get clearance from me? You know you supposed to check with me on that shit. I say, listen, bro. You got to deal with them cats. Like, this is not my party. So don't put me in that. Like, leave me out of that and deal with them. But, of course, I guess he ain't want to deal with them. So later on that night, I get another call. Like, Punch, I'm going to kill you. That's fucked up. Next time I see you, you ain't got my money. I'm going to kill you. I'm like, I'm on the phone listening like, you gonna kill me? You gonna kill me by the party? Like, for real, bro?
Yeah.
And that was the end of our relationship.
Definitely.
The end. And just
that's the end of any relationship.
So just to end that story, we ran into each other in Walters one day. And I'm talking to his whole crew. This years down the road. I'm talking to his whole crew, and they like, shit, what's up, Punch? Everybody cool with me.
Yeah,
yeah.
He come out the back, and I'm thinking, it's been some years. We cool.
Yeah.
Like, nigga don't dap me up. Like, shit, we still need to talk.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, let's go over here and talk then. So we over there talking, and the nigga say, shit, bro, I know you tired of me shitting on you in the street, dogging. Now I know you ready to get back to doing your parties and shit, because really, all my niggas was locked up at this point when the niggas sent the threat to me. So I fell back. I ain't afraid to say that, nigga, I'm smart. I don't want to die over no bullshit. So
I knew
I ain't had no backup. All my niggas in fed. So I fell back. And the nigga, he was like, shit, I just pay for my hats and we'll squash the shit. Nigga had about $1,000 worth of hats. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, cool, let's do it. So at the time, we walk into the register, his young cats coming out the back room. And as soon as they come from the back, he flipped the script on me like, nigga, don't ever try me like that. In the midst of us walking to the register,
Yeah.
Click. Mm. Like, nigga, don't you ever try me like that again. Next time I see you, better have my money. So immediately I turn around and put my back towards the door and look at these young cats like, because at this point they looking me up and down like, what we need to do, boss?
Right, right.
So I'm looking at them like, oh no, not today, because I don't even carry guns, but for this particular day, I have my 40 on me, and I'm like, not today. It's not going to happen, and I backed my way out of Walters that day.
Right.
Crazy.
But I was
so you ain't paid for the hat?
No.
I'm glad you ain't paid
for
it. No. You ain't get a chance to pay for the hat.
I know there's two sides to every story, but you're sitting on the couch. I hear your story. Sounds believable. You saying it, I even felt the way paying for the hats. Fuck the hats.
Right.
It went down the way it was supposed to go down. You wasn't supposed to pay $1,000 for nobody's fucking hats.
And because I didn't owe that man nothing.
That's what I'm saying. I don't
you know what I'm saying? Like the people that owe that man for whatever part. And mind you, let me backtrack. Nobody owed him for that part. 100%. Because after everything settled down at my car wash, T.I.'s manager, Clay, pulled up, sat with me, got a car wash, and said, Punch, I was right there when that man told them they could do that party. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you not wrong. Like that man told them specifically, okay, they could do it.
All right, gotcha. We ain't got a lot of time left, so we're gonna fast forward a little bit. How you catch a case in 2010?
Staying in too long, because like, as you heard my story, my signs were already there. Like, it ain't for you.
Yeah.
Right.
See, because a lot of people have been successful in the game. You hear how many downfalls I had throughout my years. Like, and I tell anybody, I'm an unsuccessful dope boy. Like, it wasn't good to me.
Right.
The game wasn't good to me.
That's real shit. Some people don't admit that.
Right. Like, the game wasn't good to me, but I kept dibbling down. I kept putting my foot back in. So my first case happened in 2010. I'm on Buford Highway, just picked up two birds. Mm. I'm going
you
to take
them
somewhere.
You picked up the birds from the Buford Highway?
Yeah.
Migo shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, real shit. All
right.
So I'm going...
It's just a difference. We from up top, bro. We don't deal with Mexicans. We deal with Dominicans, Puerto Ricans. So, we deal with different shit.
I'm going to drop them off to my man. That shit happened smooth, right? But the very next day, I go back to that. I'm on my way back to do something else. Mm. But I got 100 ecstasy pills. Now, this is 2010, so ecstasy still popping.
Yo, you full-blown gone, though.
Yeah.
You're gone at this point. You've chose your life. You fuck all that righteous, whatever the fuck.
Righteous went nowhere to be.
Yeah, you doing what you're doing.
Because on top of the club shit, like, once the club shit got a hold to me, it was back to street shit.
Yeah, you gone.
So you got 100 ecstasy pills.
I got 100 pills.
You not Lil B no more.
Nah.
You Big B.
So I got 100 ecstasy pills and an ounce of weed, and I get pulled. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is the chances?
Yeah.
Like, if it would have happened yesterday, I'd have really been fucked up.
Yeah.
So I go through that shit. I end up getting out, and I beat that case on a technicality. Mm. And the only reason I beat it was because the GBI lab didn't send the results of their test in time.
Okay. I've heard of that. That's a real thing.
So you catch another one after that?
I catch another one the very next year.
Okay. What you catch the next one for?
I get caught with a pound allowed.
Okay.
On Shamley, what is that? Peachtree Dunwoody. Going to the studio. Doing some shit I ain't never did.
What was that, Visions?
Huh?
Where you was going, Visions?
Nah, I don't even remember the name because I never made it there.
Yo, 5 years probation.
Man.
Standard.
Yes. So I'm going to somewhere I had never been because my cousin called me and told me he had somebody who wanted something.
Yeah.
And mind you, my cousin and his people had talked me into breaking a whole pound down. I've never done this shit before.
Now you get possession with intent to distribute.
There you have it.
Once you have it bagged up, so in multiple bags, it's possession.
Quarters and ounces. Yeah. And I'm not a trapper. Never been a trapper. I started off supplying and trafficking.
You was a driver.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't even know about the breakdown life.
I don't know about that. That wasn't me.
Yeah. It's a
I'm riding with a whole pound broke down.
You just wilding now. You just out of control.
Wilding. Just left the day party at this Mexican spot off of Monroe. I don't even remember the name of it.
You out of control.
Bro. And I'm drunk. On top of that.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I get pulled, they lock me up, and that's when I end up with the probation and the bullshit.
All right. So I want to fast forward because you always, through this whole thing, you've been involved with business. That's been your bottom line.
Yep.
From the entrepreneur, professor, like to throwing parties, like you really, graphic design, you've been down with business. Tell me what you own now.
We got, man.
Yeah, because it got to be a moral to the story. Yeah, it got to be an end good result. Like where we at now, bro?
2008, no, 2010, I walked away from doing parties. But in the midst, I said, you know what? Let me open us a business so I'm not just relying on parties.
Right.
So, me and one of my partners, we opened an audio and car shop. Audio, security, and detail shop on Ponce de Leon.
All right, give them the name.
Now, it's on a corner. It's prime real estate.
No, it's prime real estate. Yeah. Do you own the building or you lease the building?
No, we don't own the building. And see, that's what a drug dealer's dream is. We have the wrong dream.
Because I'm glad that you fucking said that.
When we got the building,
you should have bought it.
07, 08, we could afford it.
But we weren't
thinking on that level.
Yeah. Right.
And we've been there for 10 years now.
Paying rent. Fuck out of here.
When it could have been ours. And now the shit is like out of our reach.
Yeah. Because it's the too whole crazy. Demographic yeah. is it's too crazy. It's too crazy.
But
it's too crazy.
But I will say, don't let that discourage anybody. Y'all do have a business.
Right.
A black owned business.
Right.
And you still, you've been open for 10 years.
We've been open.
Car wash, audio, security.
And on top of that, in the last couple of years, I opened a trucking company. I started a trucking company.
Yes, sir.
So I went back to my beginning.
Driving.
I started out driving, and now that's where I'm at now.
Damn, son. But you're driving something else.
Legal.
Legal.
Fast lane.
Less pressure, but the name still coincides with where I come from. Fast lane logistics, because we're still in the fast lane. It's just a different product we're moving.
Word.
You haul like cars. Tell them you haul cars.
We haul cars, freight, everything.
How can they get involved with you? Social media.
Social media. My Instagram is Poncho Villa. Mm-hmm. Poncho spelled with an A. PANCHO. Villa. VILLA. And the number 88. Because 88 was the greatest year.
And your joint is right across from what? Boogaloo?
Krispy Kreme.
Across from Krispy Kreme.
We're a block from Boogaloo, directly across from Krispy Kreme.
Right by Nancy's and all that shit.
Definitely.
I know that spot is popping. I done heard before I even met you, my guy.
Yeah.
Like, reputable sources told me your shit is dope. You know, people done got work done. So definitely respect that business. Make sure you go check his business if you want anything done, right?
Absolutely.
Anything done.
Anything dealing with auto. The only thing we don't do is mechanic work. We don't do no mechanic, oil change.
No. We're not talking about that. We're talking about making your shit flyer.
Yeah.
Tell them you seen them on Drug Dealers Dreams. They come to you. Yo, exactly. I saw you. You know, yeah, definitely.
And, just tell them Poncho sent you.
Definitely. Tell him Poncho. Say, yo, listen, we appreciate you telling your story.
And I want to say, if y'all go to his spot and say you seen him on Drug Dealer's Dream, we giving out a free t-shirt. Hit us on IG.
Hit us
on a free t-shirt.
Yeah, come on.
Free outfit, man. Yeah. Swag and tee. Say, hit us on IG and say we went to Poncho's spot And we saw the interview. We respected y'all. We giving out an outfit, man. Go get some shit done, man.
Yes. Yeah,
and the interview is just a summary. Like, we're going to do some more series of this.
Nah, real okay. shit. You come back.
And is there anything you got coming up? Let us know about anything you got coming up.
We got a 10-year anniversary we're going to do this year at the shop. We're going to do a big-ass block party.
So we might as well come through.
Yeah. We come through and do an all-remote at the 10-year anniversary.
We're going to do it. I ain't came up with the date yet. It's going to be in May or June. I don't know yet, but
bring the cars through.
We might do a pop-up shop at that joint.
You never know. You never know.
Man.
Yo,
Drug Dealer's Dream, man, signing out.
My man.
You already know.
My guy. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
South Link with Up Top.